SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. George Kurtz will step up and in. We'll get into this Hockey Hall of Fame stuff with Kurtz a little bit. I was just thinking right now, as far as Roberto Luongo is concerned, Roberto Luongo, is he a Vancouver Canuck or is he a Florida Panther? Luongo was on a few teams, right? But that's a tough one. Like, is he a Panther? I got to be honest with you. Look, he went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Canucks. Big day for the Canucks. Big day for the Canucks. Luongo, the Sedins. So big time for the Vancouver Canucks. So the Sedin brothers will enter the Hall of Fame 23 years after they were drafted by the Canucks. Daniel was selected number 2 in the 1999 draft. Henrik went number 3. They played their entire 17-year careers in Vancouver. Luongo. Luongo's numbers are impressive. Luongo, 4th all-time in wins, 2nd in games played among goalies. Joined the Sedins of Vancouver in 2006 when a trade with the Florida. Remained with the Canucks until he was traded back to the Panthers. Right? So that's the deal. Is he a Canuck or is he a Panther? During the time again, I bet he goes in as a Panther just because the Canucks are getting all this love anyways. They played 603 games, 340 wins, 749 points each 4th over that time span. Luongo got 252 of his victories in Vancouver, the most he had with one team. They reached the Stanley Cup Finals. Vancouver won the President's Cup trophy 2 years in a row, actually, with these guys. So Sedin is the all-time Henrik. Henrik is the all-time Canucks leader in assists, 830 points, 1,070. Games played, 1,330, plus minus 165. He scored 369 power play points. He also had 78 points in 105 playoff games. Henrik won the Hart Trophy. He's the most valuable player. Our Ross Trophy is the league-leading scorer. He had 112 points, 29 goals, and 83 assists. Daniel had 1,041 points. So as you can see, they're both very worthy Hall of Fame entrants. I know there's always the thing, did they win a Stanley Cup, right? That's it. But hockey doesn't work that way, whether you won the Stanley Cup or not. So I say congratulations to all of them. You know what? The one thing is, I knew the Sedins were great and stuff. I knew the Sedins had, like, these crazy numbers and all this. Incredibly consistent, these guys. Great players, the Sedins. I didn't know. Like, I would say, I didn't realize Luongo was, like, a top 5 goalie all time. Like, as far as wins and stuff. You can't take that away from him. I mean, the guy won a lot of hockey games. Luongo, 4th all-time in wins. He's won 489 hockey games. When you've won nearly 500 games, that's pretty serious. He's played 1,044 games. Level 2, the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We got a lot of stuff to unpack. George Kurtz is going to step up and in. We're throwing it down on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates on the Sports Grid Radio networks. The New York Yankees were down. The New York Yankees came back again. Anthony Rizzo went deep. The Yankees now have 2 players with 20-plus home runs before the 4th of July for the first time in the expansion era since 1961. Man, the Yankees are just rewriting history right now. Aaron Judge has 28 home runs. Rizzo's got 20, a combined 48 home runs, second most of the 4 duos, trailing only, wow, Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris in 1961. Some pretty solid stuff right there. So even when they're down, and I tell you what, they were down big. They were down 5-1. And this is one of these games, too, where you could get plus money on both teams. You know, you got to be bold to do it. You know, but like basically, look, the Yankees were minus 300 tonight. The Athletics were up 5-1, and then suddenly Oakland were minus 300. You get the Yankees at plus 230, and they did come back again. Not only did they come back, they covered on the run line. I should have just played them on the run line like I wanted to, but I parlayed them with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then when the Yankees were losing, I said, oh, I better play the Dodgers again because, you know, and then the Yankees come back, which is even worse. So then I doubled up on the Dodgers, and the Dodgers got shut out in the Mile High City. We should have known. We can't bet against anybody from Denver right now, man. Like the Colorado team, they won the National Lacrosse Championship last week. The Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. Watch, now the Rockies are going to go watch the Rockies like sweep the Dodgers now or something. Oh, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving thinks he's saving the world by returning to play for the Brooklyn Nets. But he has been impressive, actually, what he is on the floor. Kyrie Irving has averaged 27.1 points per game in the games that he has played. That's in the games that he has played. Kyrie Irving's ability on the court has never been called into question. It's his flakiness off the court. John Wall signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. We're going to get a basketball guest on tomorrow. There's never an offseason with any of this stuff. We got free agency around the corner. George Kurtz will step up and in. We'll talk Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pitstop players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We are 72 days away from the start of the National Football League season. Rick Saratella will join us in Level 3, NFL Draft Bible, SI.com. We have Mike Tenier from the New York Times, Epi Outsiders earlier on the program. We talked a little NFL win totals. We'll get back to some NFL, USFL, CFL football talk a little bit later on. We've got CFL lines, actually, that were just released tonight by FanDuel Thursday Night Football. We've got CFL football on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Monday night, the 4th of July. We've got football on Monday night, and me and the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. There'll be no Sports Rage on the 4th of July, but we will be on TV and radio from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock Eastern. So basically, there's a couple of baseball games on the 4th of July, and there's a CFL football game, a rare Monday nighter, and we'll be on live during the game. We got a USFL championship game on Sunday night as well, which we're looking forward to. Sunday night, 7:30 Eastern time. So it's pretty cool. We got football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. One game each day. We'll look to crush it. Let's bring George Kurtz in right now. So, George, I said on the show earlier before, on the TV show tonight, about the two teams that got into the fights that I was going to bet on them both. I thought that even though I knew there were suspensions coming, so Winker gets 7 games, Nevin gets 10 games, Both these teams are frustrated. Something like that can bring the clubhouse together, right? You know, that's why hockey teams do it when they're losing a game. They'll just start a fight and stuff to try to sort of bring people together and sort of shake things up a little bit. And I thought, so whatever, they got the split tonight. The Angels did win the game tonight. The Seattle Mariners did not. The Mariners got rolled by the Baltimore Orioles. The Angels did win tonight. How you doing, George?
I'm doing well. That was one hell of a brawl yesterday, right? That's your old-time brawl. That wasn't one of those brawls where, hey, how you doing there, buddy? How your kids doing? No, they were trying to hurt each other. And it all stemmed back to Friday night, right? Walsh got thrown at in the head area. It would have hit him in the head if he didn't get out of the way. Then same thing happened to Trout on Saturday. So you knew retaliation was coming. As soon as I heard yesterday that
they buzzed Rodriguez too. Don't forget about that. They also nearly hit Rodriguez in the head.
That's what stopped. But as soon as I heard Sunday that they took out that all of a sudden Suarez wasn't going to be the starter, they put some no name in, and he was going to be the opener. I'm like, oh, Nevin's going for it. You knew it right there. And that's why he got suspended 10 games because baseball figured it out too. All right, you're right. They threw out Rodriguez, threw behind him. Now, I don't blame them for throwing at him. I don't, because you got to protect Trout. You got to protect Walsh. I don't like throwing at the head. I don't think you should be doing that. My question is to you is, do you only get one bite at the apple? And what I mean by that is, well, you threw at Rodriguez. You missed. Too bad. It's over now. You know, or do they get that second bite in the next inning when they throw at Winker? At least they hit him. Now they hit him in the right spot, the butt. I don't know why. I don't know why he's mad. You're going to get hit.
That's my deal too. I think Winker overreacted. I think that's just sort of a you run your mouth going. You know what I mean? You tell the guy off from first base, and that's what it's that type of thing. Like, what are you, an idiot? And like you go off, but like I said, I think they were trying to spark something. You know what I mean? I talked about the brawl on Sunday night with Jason B. Takovic, who joins us every Sunday, and we talk baseball. And I think, George, the frustration of both teams, right? The Mariners are supposed to be better than they are this year. They have the longest drought in North American sports out of all the leagues of teams making the playoffs. It's hard to believe, but like every other team in every league has made the playoffs more recently, guys, than the Seattle Mariners. So the Mariners are frustrated. The Angels have had a frustrating year. You got two frustrated teams. They're division rivals. They don't like each other to begin with, and all hell broke loose. But like you said, a lot of the times it's just sort of whatever. The bench is clear, nothing really happens, but it was pretty good. Winker went after them pretty good, and who was it? It was Crawford. Crawford landed some pretty good shots, George, by the dugout, if you saw. I don't know who he was lighting up, but they had a couple of Angels in a vulnerable spot, and they landed a couple of clean shots on them.
Yes, it was an angry brawl, man. It was a good brawl.
You see, Winker just jumped in the air. He jumped on the guy's back. I thought they were going to flip over the dugout.
Wrestling move, right?
Yeah. He came flying in with the forearm.
I don't know if you saw this, but one thing I found out while it was all going on, there was time where I guess when Winker got out of the middle, and the middle, everybody's still in the middle, but Winker's on the outside. He's actually got the pitcher who hit him, Nance, in his hands. He's not fighting him. He's talking to him. I know what he asked him. You were ordered to do that, right? You had no choice. You were ordered to do that. Because I have no doubt that that's what he was. He was ordered to do that because they knew he'd get suspended and they didn't care. And he's the only player, by the way, who's not appealing. Why? Because the Angels told him, don't appeal. You're going to get 3 more days on the Major League roster, and then we're going to send you down anyway. You know, so like I said, the Angels were doing it on purpose. Nevin was doing it on purpose.
Well, that's why you're right. That's a good point. That's why Winker didn't even go for the pitcher, right? He went for the dugout.
Good for him.
Exactly. Yeah, he didn't say, that's a good point, George. He didn't say, you know what? I'm going to go punch this pitcher in the face. He knew right away this kid was ordered to do this, and he wanted a piece of Nevin.
I don't condone the bench, the brawls. I think it's kind of stupid and idiotic. Kind of like it in hockey. Don't really like it in baseball. But at least he didn't go up to the pitcher. He wasn't one of those guys, Gabe. I hate it, and whenever you see a guy, you know, he's got 38 teammates in front of him, but hold me back. You know, I hate those guys. He went right out there. He was the only guy there for a while, going up against, 25 guys on the Angels bench. I thought that was fantastic. Good for him for sticking up for himself. I found it hilarious, though, that some fan bought him a pizza, too, and had it sent to the clubhouse, and it actually got there.
So he gets 7 games. But the thing is, they don't get any spark from it. Then they lose 8-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. At least the Angels won the game. I'm dead serious. Maybe the Angels are going a little run now after this.
Yeah, they did get the M's got trucked tonight. I thought they might get a little bit of a flow after it as well. You know, a little pumped up there, but didn't work out that way. Worked out for the Angels, although they almost choked that game tonight against
third manager the Angels have had in their dugout this year.
I don't know if they had any. I think the rally monkey was the manager tonight, right? Everything else is suspended and can't do it. I think they're separating those suspensions where like half the coaches are the first half and then the half is the other half, whatever it is. These two teams, by the way, play 11 more. I don't know. I didn't look up when the next game they play is, but they play 11 more times. I'll be watching.
Yeah, they play 11 more times. We'll see. There's still a lot of baseball left. So, wild game tonight in the Bronx with the Yankees tonight and the Pirates. So, they were big favorites. They were minus 300 favorites at the Oakland Athletics, and they were up 5-1. So, we were live on the air, George. I put the Yankees in a parlay with the Dodgers, and I'm an idiot because I was just going to play the Yankees on the run line. And then it was one of those deals, maybe it was good I didn't play them on the run line. But when it was 5-1, Cam and Dave both had the Oakland Athletics, plus a run and a half. And they were feeling really good about themselves. And I told them, I said, you know, the Yankees come back all the time, man. I said, this game isn't over yet. They come back all the time. And they were chipping away. I thought it was 5-2, then it was 5-3. But they are resilient. I don't care if it's against Oakland or whoever it is. The Yankees, they're now 17-2 in their last 19 home games. But a ton of come-from-behind victories. It seems like every couple of days, Aaron Judge is hitting a game-winning walk-off home run. Tonight, they didn't need that, but a 9-5 win. And I tell you what, George, in-game, the Yankees were like plus 230 when they were down. It should have been higher, but that's all it was. It was plus 230. They were plus 230 when they were losing 5-1.
Yeah, I was on In-Game Live with Ranieri and Dave right after you guys. And Dave and I were going, because he's got the full Oakland regalia there, right?
Yeah, he was wearing the athletic hat and jersey.
Yeah, you can't do that to me, Dave, on the show. So I was on the it's rare, but I felt something from the Yankees tonight. I thought yesterday they would sort of wake them up and they would score a bunch of runs tonight. Granted, I didn't think they would take the first six innings off. I thought it was going to be more of a well-balanced offensive attack tonight. But I felt for the Yankees tonight that they would take care of business. I also think tomorrow it could be a sort of throwaway game for the Yankees. They're playing Montas on the Oakland A's best pitcher. He's pretty much auditioning for any other team. Let's face it, you want to audition for a playoff team, beat the Yankees tomorrow, you'll get a lot more offense there. And the Yankees throwing a rookie, J.P. Sears at him. So I wonder if that game...
I wouldn't want to still get in front of them. All right, more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, you tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Hey, speak up, George. I can't hear you. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC. George Kurtz in the house with us for the Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. SiriusXM Channel 159 on Muddy or 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be joining us this evening. It's hot as hell in our studios. Those of you watching on our video feed, it's the first time it's actually really been hot. Right? I don't mind heat, actually, but it's hot now. Like, I think I got to go like old John McEnroe. I got to get a headband or something like that. I got sweat dripping down my bald head here as we kick it. I guess it is. It is summertime. So it is what it is. So, yeah, George Kurtz with us. So, George, speaking of summertime, I know you went to the summer tour the other night. Joan Jett, Poison, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue at Citi Field, home of the New York Mets. How was it? Did all four bands successfully play? How did the show go? Did you see all four bands? How did it go?
Saw all four bands. I missed the opening act, which was, I think, the classless act. On purpose, we missed it because that's 7 hours of music, so we weren't showing up for that. Joan Jett was quick but very good. She only played maybe 7-8 songs, and then she was out of there by 5:30. Concert started at, I think, a little after about 4:20. 5:30, Joan Jett's out after class, like that, like I said, very quickly there. Poison came on, Bret Michaels, and I'm not a huge fan of any of these bands. None of them would be in my top 10, but they were all very good. Poison, Bret Michaels, lots of energy, played very well to the crowd. Sounded good, like somebody had a lot of energy, really brought it. And probably the band I was worried about most because of what I've heard in the past would be Motley Crue and Vince Neil, about how he would sound. And... first, you know, they come out wild side, and then it's just pumping the bass. I mean, it gets you. If that can't get you going, nothing's going to get you going. And I thought Vince Neil sounded really, really good. And my wife, like I said, she's heard Motley Crue, sure, but she's not a huge fan. She was saying, oh, he sounds just like he does on the radio. And I thought she was right, that he sounded really good. Tommy Lee, he has broken ribs, so he only drummed maybe for two songs. He did play piano for Home Sweet Home, but that's all we really saw from him. Each band member talked to the crowd, came out, Tommy Lee, Vince. It was great, and Def Leppard was Def Leppard's Def Leppard, another professional band. They played about an hour and a half, got all the hits, and they played a couple of their new songs, which actually weren't bad. I wasn't dying to hear them. Mind you, I wanted to hear the classics, but they played a bunch of their new songs. All of them were great. Like I said, the time flew by. That's how good it was. You never look at your watch going, oh, when are these guys done? Or, you know, how many songs left for this band before the next one comes on? I can't take this anymore. Thought they were all great. Like I said, I thought Motley Crue, I guess because Gabe, my expectations were lower, I think they actually made me feel the best because I just, you know, I like rock. I love the music. And like I said, they really got the blood flowing there.
I've seen a couple of, I saw a couple of YouTube videos in which I'm surprised Motley Crue are letting them stay up like this. Like, people are filming Motley Crue shows. They're just putting them on YouTube and they're still up. And I saw the one, I think it was Miami and Orlando. I think they played, like, you know, back-to-back nights type thing, or, you know, whatever. They took a night off and then the next night. And before one of them I saw, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of rough. Like, at the beginning, I thought Vince, like, stumbled out of the gate a bit. But the thing is, you know, it's on someone's phone, and, you know, you can't fully hear everything. And then I saw the next one from a couple of nights later, and it was better. It was better. So I'm sure it's sort of hit or miss, but I think also, and we brought this up, George, remember when you told me you were going to the show? I said, bro, if there's a night that they're going to suck it up and try to bring it, you know what I mean? It'll be New York. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Not that they want to suck anywhere, but it's better to suck in Iowa. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, that show in Cincinnati wasn't great last night, guys, but don't worry, we got Hollywood coming up. We're playing SoFi next week, right? Like, you know what I mean? There's certain shows, so you knew they were going to get up for this one. And I'm just stating, you know what I mean? They went to bed earlier and, you know, whatever, did whatever they had to do to be ready for it. But I'm glad that, you know, live you were there, so you would know. As you stated, too, Def Leppard doesn't surprise me, bro. Those guys are just pros, right? They're going to show up. They're going to do their thing. And it's going to sound exactly like the record does. Same thing with Poison, actually. I think with Poison, George, like, Bret Michaels is not really a train wreck of a dude in real life. You know what I mean? Like, he's not. Like, he's been with a lot of women and stuff, but he's not like a massive, he partied when he was younger, but he's in pretty good shape and stuff. Like, he's not like a train wreck like some of these older rock bands are now. Like, some of the guys you see, it's like, man, like, it's hard for them. And then, so I'm glad. Think what Motley Crue is, too. I think this really is it. A lot of times I never believe it is because I don't think they can do it again, right? I think it's just getting so hard for them. And credit Mick Mars, bro. That guy's not young, George Mick Mars. Like, he's a lot older than people realize.
Yes, I thought Crue, I think you're right about the New York part. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. But like I said, as soon as the music hits you, it's like, wow, you know, it was just different, you know. I liked Poison. I didn't mind Poison. I liked Joan Jett, but Motley Crue was just a different feeling. And I can't say this stuff. I am not a big Crue guy.
So Motley Crue were the headliners. They were the last one to play because they alternate.
No,
it was Def
Motley
Leppard.
Motley Crue and Def Leppard, they alternate. Def Leppard was the last group.
So Def Leppard was the
last
group.
But they both played for an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was even.
Because that's one thing, exactly. Because I was surprised by that, actually. I was like, you know, I'm surprised Def Leppard agreed to open for Motley Crue, to be honest. And they really did it. Like, they alternate, but they play the same amount of time. Like,
yeah,
so it's basically, so when Motley Crue played, was it still kind of light out and then it got dark by the end of their show,
yes,
type deal?
Yeah, and that's weird because I think it's the first. You know, I haven't seen many outdoor concerts, and usually I see more, you know, more hockey arenas.
Some metal bands don't like to be on during the day because it sort of exposes them a bit. You know what I mean? They prefer when it's darker, like you see them more. Like, you know, especially if they're older.
One thing about Motley Crue, man, there was a lot of smoke. Holy God! You know, and not floor seats, but I was in, you know. Would be right behind the third base dugout for the Mets, and I couldn't see them at times because my God,
that's deliberate. That's deliberate.
I'm
not kidding.
Like, oh, can't hurt.
Yeah, no, it's deliberate. You know what it is though? That's like they can get a drink, crush a quick Gatorade. You know what I mean? When you can't see, you know what I mean? They can talk to the roadie. There's whatever. There's reasons why they do. And plus, it covers stuff up. Also, it's like a visual Band-Aid. One thing I noticed though from the YouTube video. As you stated, they went all out, though, with, like, old video footage and, like the production of the show was big time. Like, there's a lot of stuff to distract you from just the music. Like, when Motley Crue come out, I imagine Def Leppard wasn't as flashy, right? They didn't have as much, like, stuff on the stage.
Oh, of course. I said, no, I don't think there was any smoke for Def Leppard. I don't think they had, they certainly didn't have for Girls, the two, you know, balloon women, you know, anything like that. There's nothing for Flash for Def Leppard. They pretty much just played, which is fine. That's all we wanted them to do. Motley Crue had the dancing girls, right? They had three or four dancing girls. Nobody, none of the other bands had anything like that. And that's fine, because you expect that from Motley Crue. You don't expect that from Def Leppard. One thing I can tell you about Def Leppard, my wife has seen them two other times. She's a big Def Leppard person. And she told you, oh, they don't quite sound the same. Of course, they're older. Of course, they're not going to sound the same. But I said, I do like Def Leppard. Once again, not my top 10, but I like Def Leppard. And I thought they were very good. Even their new stuff, their new album that's coming out, which I don't remember the name, it was solid. I wasn't looking to go to the bathroom during those songs or go get a drink. You know, it was good, solid music. I'm not probably going to get the album. But they were, like I said, they were all really good. The tickets were a small fortune, but I'm not disappointed one little bit.
The just for the record, the guitarist of Motley Crue, Mick Mars, 71 years old. It's pretty hardcore.
I didn't realize he was that up there.
Yeah, he's 71. Like, he was old when they were young type thing. You know what I mean? Like, he always wore a wig and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? He's always been a lot older than people realized. They never said his age, right? Like, before. They would never. Now he doesn't care. Like, it is what it is. Because it's one of these deals, bro. Like, he was in a band in the 60s, man. You know what I mean? Like, people had pictures of him in a band in the 60s. So they're like, he can't be that young. If he was in a band in the 60s and he's playing with Motley, like, he was in his 40s. So think about it. Yeah, so Motley Crue came out in the early 80s. He was in his 40s then. So he was like 40 when they were all like 22 type thing. You know what I mean? But like, that's why he's always sort of been the savior of them. Like, he's kind of the adult in the room. Right? I noticed too, like, even then playing, like, he's still pretty good. Right? Like, he was sold. I sort of felt like he was holding the fort. Nikki Sixx is good, but like, Mick Mars is like the best musician in that band. Like, you know what I mean? Like, also, like, I've read, I listen to a lot of podcasts with producers and stuff, and I heard the guy that did Shout at the Devil. What's his name? Herman. I think it's Herman. And something like that, whatever. He did Aerosmith and Alice Cooper, but he did Shout at the Devil. And he told a story, basically, about how Vince was a nightmare. That it, like, it took him longer to do Vince's Neil's vocals than anyone in the history of anything. He said it was just so hard to do. And he said Tommy Lee was cool and good and stuff, and Nikki were good. He said they were pros, but he said Mick Mars was, like, the easiest guy, like, to deal with. And he was, like, the biggest pro type of deal. So yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And listen, I'm glad that people enjoyed it too, because that's the thing. I saw the first video. I was like, oh my God, this is kind of what I expected. But if you go in with low hopes and then they're good, that's just a bonus right there, George. Right? I've seen the last time I saw Motley Crue. Last time I saw Motley Crue was on the Theater of Pain tour. Like, I haven't seen Motley Crue a million times.
80s for me.
I saw the Shout at the Devil tour. That was their first big tour, Shout at the Devil. So I saw Shout at the Devil, Accept opened up for them. And then I saw them on Theater of Pain. I think it was Whitesnake. No, it was Motley Crue. And another time I saw Whitesnake with Steve Vai and Motley Crue. But I went mostly for Whitesnake. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh yeah, it's all set. They got the bug boy on.
The bug boy?
Yeah. The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
But it's a little slow out there. It rained last night.
Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up.
Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. George Kurtz kicking it with us. I was thinking, you know, I just had a memory, a flashback. I saw Joan Jett when I was a kid. Well, it was like her first big tour. Well, she was in the Runaways before, so she was around. But when she went solo with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, remember, I Love Rock and Roll. It was a big-time hit at the time. Great song. I love... She had a bunch of hits, though, eh? Crimson and Clover. I'm assuming she played them all. Bad reputation.
Yeah, sure. She played her hits. You heard every one of them. She has nothing there you hadn't heard.
She has nothing but hits. Like you said, she probably banged off 10 hits and got the hell out of there. Yeah, they're all 3 minutes each. Boom, boom, boom. There's your 35-minute set.
That's about what she did. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's a joke. But literally, she was out by 5:30, Gabe. 5:30. She had the whole Friday night to herself. I mean, she was done because 5:30 to 6, they were setting up for boys.
Yeah, but she's on the clock, bro. And another thing is, too, it's perfect for her. And another thing is, too, look, she's 63. She's not young either, right? Like, so, you know what I mean? She doesn't want to do it. Sort of like Ozzy. Ozzy's contract basically states that the concert will be anywhere between 55 and 70 minutes type thing. Right, like he might give you 70, he might hit the wall at 55 type thing. So it's a perfect, I saw the video of Joan Jett and she was rocking it. And it's perfect because she knows it's sort of like a pitcher, George. I'm only going 5 innings, yep. You know what I mean? I can go hard here, I'm only out here for 40 minutes and I can handle this. This is, you know, it's a perfect set. That's the thing for Motley Crue. That's a grind, man, you know, playing all those songs and stuff. I noticed though, they've been pretty consistent with the set list. As you stated, Wild Side, Shout at the Devil, number two, right?
Straight up the set list. What you see online is exactly what, because I followed it. And what you see online is exactly what they did. Def Leppard did change things up a slight bit. I think they went the first two of their new songs first before they got to the hits.
They got the first two new out of the way hits. Yeah.
Good. I have no problem with that.
It's a smart thing because people are happy to see the first song anyways, right? Yeah. Oh, boom. Hey, there's Def Leppard. So they rock out a new one. It gets it out of the way. They want to play it. Play a couple of new ones, and then, you know, and then the rest is hits. You know what I'm saying?
I had no problem with it. And listen, I had no problem with Joan Jett. Because, like I said, if you got there on time, you were out there from 4:30 to 11:30. That is a long time in Citi Field. Sit on those benches there. That's why we showed up, missed the classless act, and I had no problem when Joan Jett left early. Finish her set quickly. I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, let them set up an X-band here, so it'll be here all night. So I didn't mind at all. You know what the funniest thing was? Because you're seeing four different bands, I guess five, you want to count classless act, it was fun to watch the guests. Okay, who's here for what band? And who's here to see Motley Crue? You can see what they're dressed as. And who's here for Poison? You know, I found it interesting that people left after each band. We had people who were sitting in, I was in section 114, about 10 rows behind third base. And there were people in front of us who we never saw again after Poison. They just left. That's what they were there for. And these tickets were not cheap. You're talking, it was $250 a piece in those seats.
Wow.
So like, wow. And people just left after Poison.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, hey.
Well, that's my problem. I'm probably going to go see the show just for the event of it and have a good time. But I'm going to have a problem being there that long. I won't be able to last. Motley Crue are the headliners for the night here. So that's another thing.
It's that simple. I don't care.
My deal is I'm going to have to bite the bullet. I'm going to miss Joan Jett. I'm going to miss Joan Jett. And I'm going to miss Poison. And I'm going to roll in like halfway through Def Leppard. I can't handle 90 minutes of Def Leppard. I even like Def Leppard, but I can't handle 90 minutes of Def Leppard. Not at this point. You know what I mean? And because then I can't sit in between. They got to set up Motley Crue. That's going to take like 45 minutes. The Motley Crue are going to play forever. I like the internet. Like, I prefer if it was outdoors so I could just sort of wander. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can handle Poison for two songs or something. Talk dirty to me.
Go to Shake Shack or something like that. Go get something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm that guy, though. If I pay, I'm staying. I don't leave a baseball game early. It's 38-0, and maybe I got to get out or something like that. But, you know, I'm staying. Unless it's really out of hand here. Something's just really boring or whatever. If I paid the money nowadays that we need to pay to go to these events, I am enjoying the full event.
George Kurtz with us. So, Yankees come back tonight. Dodgers lose. Boston Red Sox have been scorching hot, George. Big series against the Toronto Blue Jays. It's not that the Blue Jays have been bad, but, you know, the Blue Jays, they haven't really gotten hot, right? They're playing decent baseball, but they haven't gotten hot. It's a big series for them. But for whatever reason, Toronto seemed to beat Boston. They're now 6-1. Their last seven games against the Red Sox in Toronto, George, after tonight's win. And I will admit, I swung for the fences. I rolled the dice. I was like, listen, I'm getting +164 with a team as hot as the Red Sox. I knew there was a pitching mismatch, but I know, but whatever. I took it on the chin. It is what it is. But big win for the Jays tonight. I was surprised to see them win as convincingly as they did.
Yeah, I was on the Jays tonight because of what you said, the pitching mismatch. Seabold, this guy, I never even heard of this guy. And I was a little nervous about Gossman because he hasn't pitched well of late. So I had the over as well. I don't think we got the over. So I lost on that. So I had a parlay. I didn't have the Blue Jays straight. I had a parlay with the Blue Jays and Yankees because I was complaining about it with Joe when the Yankees originally were losing. I'm like, great, I'm going to lose on the Yankees part of his parlay, and I never bet the Yankees. So I ended up working out there. The Jays, in my mind, are still a dangerous team. Man, they're not going to catch. No one's going to catch the Yankees. 12 games behind, you're not going to do it. But it's not like if I'm a Yankee fan, I am dying to face Toronto in the playoffs. That's Manoah you're going to face once, maybe twice. I know the Yankees have beat him, but they haven't beat him up. They've just beaten him. I think the Jays are going to be that team that adds. Now that they lost Ryu, they're going to add a top starting pitcher here. Are they a team that adds Montas? Did they add Luis Castillo? A Madison Bumgarner twice if they can't add a top tier guy? Do they go down to that level, someone like that? The Jays are going to add. Do they get that left-handed first baseman they want or left-handed hitter they want to really straighten that lineup out? I still think, to me, I don't, as a Yankee fan, I'm not worried about Boston. I think that team, there's no pitching there. I'm not worried about it. The Jays do scare me, though.
I think Boston are going to make the playoffs, though. So you're saying you don't fear Boston in a series as much as you fear playing the Toronto Blue Jays in a five-game series?
Yeah, because, I mean, who's that pitcher on Boston that you're worried about facing twice in a series? Eovaldi? Really?
No, that's the problem with Boston. I think that they can get, sort of like last year, they get in the playoffs and they hit a wall. You know what I mean? They just don't have enough.
I agree. I just don't see them being able to do any damage here. I think the Jays could do damage.
But you know, like, anything can happen in these playoff series, George, right?
Of course.
Like that's the whole thing with, like,
series.
I get it. We'll see what the Red Sox do. Well, do you think the Red Sox are going to add pitching? Because that is what, if they're going to be for real, they have the hitting, right? They've got the bats. Are they going to add a pitcher, George, the Red Sox? Because they've been strange, right? They didn't pay Mookie Betts. They didn't want to pay Mookie Betts. But then they turn around and they give Story a bunch of money, right? So, and, the you know, they have high expectations in Boston. What do you think the Red Sox do with the deadline?
Well, you just said it. All right, they didn't pay Betts, which leads you to think, okay, they're not going to do it. But they did pay Story before this season. So are they turning it around now? Okay, we're going to spend money now. We think we're ready now. You know, my guess is yes, because I think as much what they think is, okay, the Yankees are a better team, but if we can add a top starter, like I said, the Montas, Luis Castillo type, are we that far behind the Yankees? If we can throw, let's just say for giggles, they add Castillo. All right, so Castillo, Eovaldi, Chris Sale, assuming he's healthy, that's not a bad starting three. All right, not bad at all. You mentioned they can hit. We know they can hit. Their bullpen still needs help as well. That's why I think the Yankees are the better team. The offenses are about even. I think the Yankees starting staff is better, even if they do add a Castillo type. But the Yankees bullpen will be better, much better than Boston's. I think that's why Boston's in trouble here. I think they do add, but are they going to want to outbid the Dodgers, who I really think are the favorites to add one of these top-tier starters, right? Because they got all these injuries. They have to add somebody. The Mets are going to try and add somebody because they're not going to pray and hope that the Grom and Scherzer stay healthy. All right, and they'll be at Toronto. Are they going to outpay? I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know if they'll outpay in prospects to go out and get Castillo, Montas, whoever else.
There's two other teams, George, too. Two other teams that I've heard are in the market and are willing to spend money, and it's surprising one of them, but the Tampa Bay Rays. Supposedly the Tampa Bay Rays are inquiring about a top-tier pitcher, and the San Francisco Giants. Can't forget about the San Francisco Giants, George. They have money to spend, and word is they're looking for a pitcher, big-time pitcher as well. Like the Luis Castillos, the Montases of the world.
I don't want to say they're a top market, but they're a big market. They can spend whoever they want. I get this here. I think if the Yankees don't sign Judge.
Well, word is they're going after Judge. That's the team, right? Yeah, that's going to be the front runners. Yeah, exactly. He grew up a Bonds fan.
I think that's where he could end up if he doesn't go with the Yankees. Yeah, that's a worry. And I think the Giants and somebody had been waiting for him to pop up here to give him that $400 million contract that he apparently wants.
And then if LA know, if the Dodgers know that he's going to San Francisco, then they could get involved just to try to stop it. You know what I mean? They could say, listen, I know you like San Francisco, but we're LA and we're going to pay you this. And wouldn't you like to play with Mookie Betts and, you know, and Trey Turner? And
I don't think you know I mean? I think LA knows. They have too many of their own guys they got to pay. I don't think.
And also, you're right. The Dodgers aren't a massive free agent team, really. They really aren't. You know, Betts was kind of an exception just because he's such a stud. And even now, it's a trade. You know what I mean? But, like, he's such a stud. And, you know, he's judged a little older. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, George, remember the Dodgers weren't in on the Harper sweepstakes very much? You know?
Yeah.
They weren't. They met with Harper, and they basically told him they were willing to pay him a lot of money, George. But, like, I can't confirm it, but I think they said, we'll give you $150 million for 3 years. I think they offered him like 50, but not a long-term deal. Yeah, like right. 3 years, $150 million right. type thing.
A high AAV, but short-term. I think you're absolutely right. I don't know if the number's correct, but I think you're absolutely right. They offered him the biggest short-term, but he didn't want to do
yeah.
that, which is fine. The Dodgers are always a worry, as if, once again, as a Yankee fan, because the Dodgers seem to be, they want to spend more money than Hank does, Hal does, right? He has a budget.
If they don't like long-term deals, though, the Dodgers. They don't like long-term deals.
Well, I know as a Yankee fan's going to yell at me for this. Gabe, if I'm cashing, I don't think I can sign Judge. Because you give him, let's just take the giggles.
$350 million?
10 years.
Yeah, 350, 400, exact, 350, exactly.
Let's cut the middle. Let's say 375. You're going to eat it the last three, 4 years of that deal. He's going to be 38, 39, 40, 41.
This is really the first year he's been healthy, too. Like put it this way. Like, people can say now the Yankees screwed up in offering him 225 only, but I got to be honest, it was pretty ballsy of him to turn it down considering how injury-prone he's been, wasn't it?
Did he bet on himself
like this?
Yeah. He still has to play another 100 games and stay healthy.
Yeah,
he's,
you're right. We're not there yet.
But, you know, if he breaks the home run record and gets 62 home runs, my God.
Yeah. Like, if he hits 60 plus, even if he hits 50 plus, it's still massive. But if he hits the 60 and he breaks the Maris stuff and, like,
he's already hit 60 for the Yankees. He's got to hit 60. If he hits 60, it's gonna be a problem for Cashman. It's gonna be
because then Yankee fans gonna say, "How the hell? I know how you're not gonna pay him, right?" But what are you paying him for? You're paying him for past production. When you're paying a guy, you want future production, not past production, right?
Yeah, and you probably got, he's going to be 31. You probably got 4 or 5 good years out of him. Maybe. He's a big man, too. This guy's checking.
And you haven't won with him. It's not like he's led you to a title.
That, too. I don't like to pay him here.
Cashman doesn't like paying big contracts, and neither does Hank and Hal. More with Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's right now. We got George for a couple more moments. We'll keep him for a couple more moments on the other side. We got Rick Saratella stepping up, and then we'll get back to some baseball, overnight baseball picks. But, George, I want to get your take. The Hockey Hall of Fame. So, Daniel out. Big night for Sweden, right? Big day for Sweden. So, the Sedins, both Sedins, Henrik and Daniel Sedin, Vancouver Canucks, greats get in. And Daniel Alfredsson, Ottawa Senator, legend, gets in. So, all Swedish players, Roberto Luongo, goaltender, and I was somewhat surprised to see that Roberto Luongo is actually fourth all-time on the all-time wins list as far as goalies are concerned. Only Martin Brodeur, Patrick Waugh, and Marc-Andre Fleury are ahead of him. So, in other words, the top four goaltenders of all-time wins are all from Quebec. Martin Brodeur, Montreal, St. Foy, Quebec, Patrick Waugh, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Roberto Luongo, both from Montreal as well. So I ask you right now, and even though Luongo was drafted by your New York Islanders, is Luongo a Florida Panther or a Vancouver Canuck?
I think he's a Vancouver Canuck, you know, but I think he's going to go in as a Panther.
He played 572 with the Panthers, 448 with Vancouver, but he did go to the Cup with Vancouver, and he won a lot of games with the Canucks, more games with the Canucks, yeah. You know?
To me, what I said, the first thought that comes to my head when I think Luongo is Vancouver, but I think he's going to go in.
It is, huh?
That's just,
especially with the Sedins going in as Canucks that day as well already, right?
I didn't think about that, yeah. Spread the love a little bit. I think he loves it down in Florida, right? Down there. So I'd be surprised if
But you don't go in as a player. They don't put, it's not like they put a hat on you or a jersey on you. So you don't really have to make the choice. It's not the same. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they put a jersey on you. Yeah, like, but I was just asking, sort of first, like, word association. I actually think of him as a Panther, as crazy as that is.
I think it would work to trade the Islanders ever made.
Yeah, and you didn't have a goalie for years after that either. Yeah. All right, more with Kurtz on the other side.